Hello and welcome to Animal Voices. Today is Friday, July 18th, 2014. My name's Alyssa, and it's just me today. Mm. Well, me and Kelly backing me up on the controls.
Yes.
So thanks for joining us. And so today we have a show dedicated to our Mother Earth. There is one single industry destroying the planet more than any other, but no one wants to talk about it. Can you guess what industry that is, Kelly?
I'm assuming... I don't know. I haven't been following the animal stuff.
Well, so. It's animal agriculture. Mm. And so why aren't the big environmental organizations really talking about this issue? There is a new film out that's screening soon in Vancouver, and it's on a screening tour around North America. It's called Cowspiracy, The Sustainability Secret.
And what is Cowspiracy?
Well, it's kind of like the idea that there's sort of a bit of a conspiracy going on of why, you know, why government and why organizations aren't talking about this issue. It's because the animal agriculture industry, you know, makes a lot of money and lobbies for organizations to keep silent about this. And it's a really big deal because it actually contributes to more global greenhouse gas emissions than any other industry, including all transport combined. And people just aren't talking about it. Mm. So we have featured that subject on our show many times before. Today, we're very pleased to have the filmmakers who talked to Tim earlier this week. Mm-hmm. And before that, I found some really, really good songs about the issue, and I'm very happy to share them. Music is one of my big passions, and so I found some songs that talk about animals and the environment and doing our best to make a difference. Before we get into that, first of all, I would like to give a shout out. I met a listener, a fan named Rebecca, when I was at the Summer Institute for Union Women. I did a few workshops there on sustainable activism and self-care, and I met a postal worker named Rebecca, and she said she listens every week from North Van, and mm-hmm. she also mentioned a place in North Vancouver called Mother's Juice, which is a vegan juice and snack shop. So yeah, I'd never heard of Mother's Juice in North Van, and I just wanted to give say hello to, because I love hearing that people listen to the show regularly.
Very nice.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about an event that Animal Voices is organizing before we get into the awesome music. We have an event that is aiming to link animal defense and anti-pipeline activism. It's called Endangered Turtle and Poisonous Pipes, No Pipelines on Turtle Island. And this event was inspired by Earthling Liberation Collective out of Ontario. And they wanted to see a West Coast event. And so they contacted me. And so Animal Voices has signed on, as well as Vancouver Animal Defense League and the Wildlife Defense League. And so the questions that we're looking at are, how do we help animals being threatened by tar sands pipelines? In what ways are animals put at risk by projects like Northern Gateway and Trans Mountain? And can we integrate the needs of non-human animals with ongoing campaigns for Indigenous sovereignty and environmental defense? So if you're looking for answers to these questions, as much as I am, please come out to this event and join in the conversation about defending wild animals from tar sands pipelines. So it will be happening in Vancouver, again, Saturday, August 9th. We don't know the exact time, but you can contact us if you want details, or check it out on Facebook. Just look for Endangered Turtle to find the event details there, or through our Facebook page, which is Animal Voices Vancouver. We will be hosting Dr. David Steele. He's a microbiologist and the president of Earth Save Canada. He's going to be talking about an article he recently published called Pipelines Are Bad for Animals. Now we'll get into our Cowspiracy-themed show. And here's a band that's featured in the movie Cowspiracy. They're called True Nature. They are an international music project founded to raise awareness of animal, earth, and human liberation.
soup or life. For that we send them to the father system that is killing her, to the system that is killing us all. Blackened scars of industry said it's killing her and it's killing me. To the toxic waste landfill, to the dead seas from oil spills, to the rabid souls of chemical lack, taking everything and giving nothing back. Choices and her actions are what determine our fate. Choose your level of involvement to participate in this destruction of her and this murder, or dedicate yourself to actions to save our mother.
If they said this on the news, if they would clarify the picture instead of seeking to confuse, if you could see the ice caps melting, if you could watch the oceans rise, if you could see the consequences right before your eyes, if you knew the kids were dying, if you could look inside the river where their food comes from, filled with cyanide, if you could hear the parents pleading, if they were looking right at you, if you could see the anguish in their hearts, what if you knew? Bombs are falling, if they showed them hit the ground, if you could see the bodies flying, if you could hear the sound, if you could see the rubble where the hospital once stood, if you saw the child's lifeless limbs, would you hold them if you could? If you knew that they were lying every time they spoke, for every laser-guided pinprick there were lives lost in the smoke, if instead of just the generals they had doctors too to describe the carnage of the cluster bombs, what if you knew? They were saying when they think you cannot hear, if you understood what they do, if for you it was so clear, if you knew they shut down the factory in an economic ruse, if you could kiss the cheek of the child in the sweatshop that made your shoes. Every time we went to war to fight our evil foes, they told you we were really fighting for the good of CEOs. If you could feel the hunger of the many, see the riches of the few, if they told it like it is, what if you knew? You knew that you were living in a huge conspiracy, would you leave your suburbs, get out of your SUV, would you hit the streets and fight for all our lives? Would you hold your ground when the stormtroopers arrive? If you knew that the whole planet depended on what you do now, would you take a man with the speed our times allow? If the pundits told the truth for just a week or two and real life was shown on TV, what if you knew?
So that was David Rovics, and before that was True Nature. I'm having so much fun playing music on the show, and I'm getting really excited for Vancouver Folk Fest. I will be at the Co-op Radio Tent on Saturday from 3:30 to 6:30. If you want to come say hello, that would be so awesome. I hope to see you there. It'll be so much fun. These songs I found on the Vegan Hip Hop Movement site. It's Kevin Tillman based in Ontario. So first we have a song called Global Warning by Earth Amplified. And then we have Shift of the Earth by Sabak Red.
Wear the bell out for this. Swim out the metropolis. Cause ice get melt like sun-kissed Icarus. When they chat and try to Baghdad. Yo, your numbers don't add. Just the greenhouse gas. Appalachian coal miner, fishermen in Bangladesh. Uncle Sam making bets. Write his name by the Exxon Valdez. Probably assless next. Little Johnny got a little funny knob in his neck. So what's the problem with that? You just a corporate exec would extract that oil from the boils of the backs and Nigerians. Give me that. Pass out texts like reps through the Mavericks. Offset politics. Copenhagen, no debate, need the reparations. And why you waiting another 600 acres gone in the Congo and Amazon by the end of the song?
On it, we so on it. Gotta be on it if you ain't on it, it's a warning. Take a look at the world around. The temperature is rising, the time is now.
Go green, go solar, go agriculture. Fiverr, McDonald's, and Coca-Cola. All corporate vultures should burn in the toxic sulfur they emit. For every dollar they get, they exploit the culture and take resources. Control the media and censor the voice of the voiceless. Sitting back fat in their office. They don't see people, just profits and losses. The seed wanna grow, but it's deep in darkness. The hood gotta learn how to turn the garbage into healthy soil. We could help the world, but we running out of time like they running out of oil.
On it, we so on it. Gotta be on it if you ain't on it, it's a warning. Take a look at the world around, cause the temperature is rising, the time is now.
Hotter than July, right? Feel the sunlight, but it's only April, something don't feel right. And yeah, it's true, we all live under the sun, but what we doing got us all living under the gun. Cause the science is real, but the politics are dominant. Without action, the outlook is ominous. But on the nuts of the governments, the lobbyists, and they get that dough to keep the status quo. Freeze that cash flow and scorch the natural. Pale white horse coming directly at you. Took a whole lot of troops atop of the statue. But just one Katrina put a tree in your bathroom. Cause we don't live in a vacuum. Things you put out in the world will come back and get at you. Like a boomerang, don't care who threw it. How you gon' explain to a hurricane that you endured?
I said the children of the sun will rise again. Worldwide for the love that lives within. Oh yes, all the pain is suffering. From the earth, rebirth of the ancient queen. I said the children of the sun will rise again. Worldwide for the love that lives within. Oh yes, all the pain is suffering. From the earth, rebirth of the ancient ways, yeah.
By the warning, a shift of the earth. Global warming, it's gonna get worse. A fast food nation will shatter your soul. The vast population out of control.
This ain't some tree hugging bullshit, homie. I'm hood. Express my thoughts on the subject like only I could. We didn't learn from war. Meteor and terror, my concerns are more like what we breathe in weather. Look how the seasons change, rainfall and heat. Mudslides, cyclones, snow at 4 feet. Tidal waves, tornadoes, earthquakes, volcanoes. The existence of our birthplace seems so fatal. And I'm not just talking about the trees in a forest. I'm speaking about the streets of where we leave with our garbage. Breathing in toxic fumes like crack addicts. Babies coming straight out the womb like asthmatic. Ass back to cell phones, wireless web. Metal detector radiation deep inside of our head. Eyes are still red, bloodshot, vision is blurred. Pandemics are relentless when resistance occurs. Getting sick of these birds, restricted at birth. The system gets worse, this could be a shift of the earth. Ironically, we move too fast for the ecology. Consumed technologically and doomed economically.
The final warning, a shift of the earth. Global warming, it's gonna get worse.
The vast nation shatter your soul. The vast population out of control.
The final warning, a shift of the earth.
Global warming, it's gonna get worse. A fast food nation will shatter your soul. The vast population out of control.
We're obsessed with fast food, KFC, Mickey D's, steroids put in the meat. We eat consistently. We snack and we feast. It's hard to track when we eat. 60% of Americans are fat and obese. Let's get back on our feet before we crack from defeat. Heart disease causing death from attacks and asleep. And some of give a fuck about the fuss that I'm making. But I don't trust the food or the drug administration. It's the foods we eat and the fuel we burn that will end our existence, and you ain't concerned. We want bigger TVs, SUVs, bigger houses, beyond the resources, and haven't figured it out yet. I know our healthy food costs more, so corporations stay wealthy while they off the poor. It's a cycle, look at how they market their goods that are expensive and toxic, they start with the hood. We got what we could at the expense of ourselves. Detrimental to our health while they're spending our wealth. We're in debt before death or sentenced to jail. Know what you're against, don't get set up to fail.
Defy the warning, a shift of the earth. Global warming, it's gonna get worse. A fast food nation will shatter your soul. The vast population out of control. Defy the warning, a shift of the earth. Global warming, it's gonna get worse. A fast food nation will shatter your soul. The vast population out of control.
Are listening to Animal Voices on Vancouver's Co-op Radio 100.5 FM CFRO, 100% listener-sponsored radio broadcasting live from the downtown east side on unceded Coast Salish territories.
It's an environmental disaster that's being ignored by the very people who should be championing.
Let's look at the fundamental problem here.
No one wants to talk about it.
Because they're membership organizations, you know, a lot of them. They're looking to maximize the number of people making contributions.
The leading cause of environmental degradation is...
We need to address that as well.
It's not up to the Department of Water Resources.
Hard to actually target, like, one thing.
I don't necessarily know what it is.
There's suppression and mismanagement of information everywhere, it abounds.
It starts at the local level, but then it goes all the way to Congress.
When you consider the devastation it's having on our planet as well as the oceans.
And we're in the middle of the largest mass extinction of species in 65 million years.
And they can dictate the federal policies because they have so much political power.
They're one of the largest industries on the planet with the biggest environmental impact. Trying to keep us in the dark about how it's operating.
That's the one thing no one talks about. You know, everybody goes around that.
Unfortunately, we are no longer able to fund your film project. We had a meeting, and due to the growing controversial subject matter, we have some concerns and have to pull out.
You're going up against people that have massive legal resources, and you have nothing.
A lot of people just keep their mouths shut because they don't want to be the next one with the bullet to their head.
I don't know that I would want to comment on that.
Do you think there should be any concern of us making this documentary?
Of course. If you don't realize right now that you're putting your neck on the chopping block, you know, you better take that camera and throw it away.
I, for one, am really glad that they did not take this advice and threw away the camera, but make the movie instead. That was the trailer to Cowspiracy, a new feature-length documentary about the environmental impact of animal agriculture. Animal agriculture is a major factor in global warming, in destruction of forests, in pollution of the ocean, in consumption of water, and many other things. Yet nobody is talking about it. Why is that? That is the question that Keegan Coon and Kip Anderson asked themselves when they made this movie. And earlier this week I was able to talk to them both for an interview, which I would like to share with you now. I have to apologize, I could only reach them on cell phone, so the sound quality is not the best, but it's well worth a listen. Enjoy.
Thanks for being available for this interview for Animal Voices. I saw your new movie, Cowspiracy, last week, and I have to say I really, really liked it. Awesome movie. For our listeners, you're doing a screening in Vancouver on July 26th at the public library, and it's a free screening. I hope you will have a great turnout. How would you introduce the movie yourself?
So Cowspiracy, it's a feature-length environmental documentary exposing the truth about the environmental impacts of animal agriculture on the planet. And it has a strong narrative. It follows my co-director, Kip Anderson, on a journey of discovery, finding out about the impacts of this industry and what we all can do about it.
So you're explaining this in the movie, kind of what inspired you to do this. But what was the point where you thought you're going to turn this into a movie?
Yeah, so, basically, as the film shows, it follows the journey of actually really how it started to happen, the film. I found out about the UN report, the Long Shadow report, how livestock animal agriculture industry accounts for more greenhouse gases than all transportation put together. And then from there, I found out that it's a leading cause of environmental degradation across the board, water use, water consumption, water pollution, land use, Amazon rainforest destruction, and wildlife, and on and on. And then I went to my favorite nonprofit environmental organizations and found out that there was nothing there on their websites. I couldn't find really any information anywhere explaining this. And so I tried contacting them over and over for months, if not years, and figured, really the only way to do this is to team up with Keegan, and I had a camera and decided to really just go at it and see if we could interview them in person. That's kind of how the whole film started.
Have you worked together before that? Did you know
each other? No, this is our first time doing anything together. We actually met on this project. We never even knew each other before, so it was kind of a serendipitous.
In the movie, you're trying to get interviews with these organizations and with various results. What were the different hurdles you encountered there?
Well, one is they were really reluctant to talk about us, to talk to us. The film is about a movie about sustainability, and we were upfront with that, and we did mention that their part of it would be talking about, of course, animal agriculture, since it is the leading cause of so many, nearly every single issue. And that was the part that was really challenging, is to get these interviews with them, because once they were reluctant to hear or to talk about animal culture or whatever it was very difficult and challenging to get these interviews at all. And then the interviews themselves were quite challenging, but at the same time, that's why the movie is so entertaining, because the interviews are quite funny. If they weren't so serious, the topic so serious would be hilarious. But there's a lot of funny moments and awkward moments in the interviews that people really like when they watch the film. It makes it quite entertaining.
Yeah, I agree. it was indeed, as you say, entertaining. I was wondering if you tried to... I mean, you went kind of straight to the headquarters of different organizations. You went to Greenpeace and to others. And I was wondering, have you tried to contact more other people involved in these organizations, say like ground workers or more local activists or so? I'm wondering, is there a difference between like the official stance an organization takes, or do you really think they all are so cautious or so oblivious about these issues?
We tried to use every avenue we could. We tried to interview employees, and we actually had one of their directors say he would speak on film about oceans. And he actually said, well, I can't speak as a Greenpeace representative, even though he was one of their directors. And he ended up backing out. So we went every route we could possibly get. But the truth is that, you know, they're dedicated environmentalists who happen to be vegetarian and vegan, who work for these organizations. But the truth is that as an organization, their official policies don't represent what they may be in their own lifestyles as individuals. And that's really what's important, is that even if somebody lives a sustainable lifestyle, unless their organization represents it, it's kind of irrelevant when it comes to talking about that organization. So though an executive director of a large organization may, again, be vegan, if their organization doesn't represent that and doesn't talk about that, then it is it's kind of irrelevant when it comes to the topic of what the organization is doing themselves.
Right. So why do you think these organizations are so reluctant to address this issue?
You know, I think there's a lot of different issues at play, and that's something that's explored heavily in the film. Part of it, I think, is the fact that it's an unpopular sentiment to talk about changing dietary habits. You can tell somebody to, you know, turn the water off when they brush their teeth or ride their bike instead of driving, and you know, these small things. But when we start talking about lifestyle changes in the form of changing your diet, it becomes extremely unpopular. But particularly, it's really only unpopular though when you start talking about animal consumption for some strange reason. If you tell people to not eat palm oil, it doesn't get the same sort of reaction when you tell somebody not to eat meat. So I think that's part of it. I think part of it is that these organizations themselves, their directors, may not be willing to make those changes. So how can they advocate for people to make changes if they're not willing to do it themselves? And then another part of that is the repression. You know, in the United States, there are a series of laws created to make it illegal to expose the atrocities committed against the planet, against animals by animal agriculture. There's a series of laws called, they're being called ag gag laws, which again criminalize exposing factory farms atrocities to the animals and the environment. So that could play a part in it as well. And these are, again, are all issues that are covered and explored in the film.
Right. Will Potter is in the movie. We had him on our show on June 20th talking about these new laws and new forms of repression to activists. So I'm wondering, you had some difficulties in making the movie. That is also explained in the movie. One thing that came to my mind is, now that the movie is done, have you experienced difficulties bringing it out there, distributing it, licensing it, or screening it even? Have you felt any negative backlash already?
No, if anything, actually, it's been really inspiring. We've only shown it around 4 or 5 screenings, but all our screenings are getting sold out and with standing ovations, and it's really about the message that they're just so excited about and wanting to share, and that's why it's getting such a huge buzz. And also, it's an entertaining film, but we haven't really seen the positives outweigh the negatives so much, and that's what's really important to focus on, of how, you know, the old, lack of a better term, regime and the big green and the old ways of doing things are, you know, just kind of outdated in this new way, this new truth, and the way everyone is excited to share this truth and the film and messages and things of this sort. It's been actually quite easy and really fun to see everyone really fired up and excited about sharing this film. And it's a grassroots thing. We're doing this thing through Tug, tug.com, T-U-G-G.com, which is a grassroots platform where you can host your own screenings all throughout the country at no risk, no charge. And you just set up the theater near you and a screening, and it takes care of everything for you. And once you get, all you have to do is market it. Once it gets a certain amount of tickets, then it rolls over and becomes official, and you can actually make money on it without putting any money down or risk. So that's exciting too.
Yeah, and that actually is opened up to actually internationally now. So to do it theatrically, you can do it inside the United States, but internationally, you can organize community screenings through Tug. And that's really easy. Just go to our website, cowspiracy.com, and click the link, host a screening. And we have over 50 screenings that are in the works right now that are being independently organized by people all across the globe.
That's really awesome. You're focusing mainly on organizations in the United States. I found it interesting to see a bit of a difference. I grew up in Europe, and I remember even going to school back then, I was taught that meat and agriculture is a major factor in deforestation of the rainforest. But at the same time, everybody's, and I just, after watching the movie, I check NGOs in Europe and see if they had campaigns about it, and they mention it, but they also don't have any campaigns. So I think maybe they're a bit more open than in the United States, but at the same time also very, very cautious to not alienate their supporters. So I think it's really good that you get traction all around the world.
Yeah, you know, it is an issue that is it's different cultures around the world, you know, have varying degrees of transparency about the issue. And, you know, the deforestation caused by cattle was more popular and was talked about a little bit more in the 80s and in the 90s. But I think you see in the last 10 years, virtually, you know, nothing is being said about the huge impact that, you know, cattle grazing and the soy production, you know, the soy, 80% of it, which is being fed to livestock in coming out of the Amazon basin, you know, is getting virtually no attention. When we talk about rainforest conservation, it's pretty much all about palm oil today. And that's, you know, incredibly important that, you know, palm oil gets a lot of attention. But when you compare it to animal agriculture, you know, palm oil is responsible for about 100 million acres of rainforest being cleared today, which is, you know, just devastating. But then when you compare that to animal agriculture and what that's been doing, you know, we're talking about 10, 15 times that much destruction due to animal agriculture. So, as again, it's where the focus is, and we just need that. If animal agriculture is the leading cause of rainforest destruction and degradation, and that needs to be the number one focus.
Right, right. You were talking about animal agriculture is the biggest cause of all these, and compared to other things that environmentalists do, like saying recycling and changing their light bulbs and like all these easy changes in habits, kind of it doesn't have such a huge impact. I'm wondering, do you think that just the behavioral changes of individual consumers can lead to a really major change in the system, so to speak? I think veganism is a growing movement, but it's still a very, very small movement.
Well, and that's the thing. It's really a way to look about it. I feel it's actually a really fast, big, growing movement. And it's around the entire issue of a lot of it's about the truth. So behavior change is really of once you know the truth, sharing the truth, sharing the film, sharing the message. And that's happening fast. And the shift is happening. And I think, you know, a lot of people say in the vegan community or whatever, for so many years it seemed that things are happening slow. But just in the past 2-3 years, it's happening really fast. And what it is, it's just a conscious shift that people are waking up, and, you know, films like this is showing the truth of things. And once, whether you're a carnivore, omnivore, whatever you want to call it, once you know the truth, then you're going to start making wise decisions, and then huge changes will happen. So you know, individual change starts with the individual, but, you know, once it becomes a whole movement, then things happen, and they happen really fast. And the time we live in, with, you know, the information age and just everything, change happens so fast these days that you'll see over the next couple of years it's going to be a quantum, really fast transformation.
Yeah, you know, I think we're reaching that tipping point. And, you know, a lot of, you know, based on people's politics too, they're going to say, oh, well, we need to talk about the change in the government, or we have to, you know, change these corporations. And I think that's an older way of thinking about things, and it kind of keeps this, the standard idea of power in place. And I think that we've seen, you know, with the Arab Spring, and you see these uprisings and these radical shifts in the way people think around the world, the populist movement, and that's really what's going to bring about change, that we're not going to have to go to the government, at least this is my personal feeling, and wait for the government to change or wait for these corporations to become more sustainable. We have to make changes on a personal level and take this personal responsibility instead of pointing the finger at others, that realize that everything that we do has an impact on the planet, and that we have responsibilities and we have power to change how the world is treated and how it's shaped.
Right, and that is a strong message, and I think a really positive way of seeing it. I'm just thinking that if, you know, these numbers that you're explaining in the movie, like kind of the insane consumptions, like the huge amounts of resources that are being used up, might lead to people thinking there's no hope, or kind of like, oh, I myself am only a little drop in the huge ocean of things. So
people could feel hopeless, but, you know, the truth is, you and the United States, Kip and I both spent a part of our childhood in the state of Virginia, which is a huge tobacco state. It's where Philip Morris, the largest tobacco company, is from. And if you told people 20 years ago that it was going to be illegal to smoke inside, everybody would have laughed at you. They said, that's crazy. You know, just, you they can't smoke in a bar. But today, it's illegal to smoke inside anywhere in Virginia, inside restaurants or bars or hotels or anything. So that, you know, that is a huge shift that happened in a relatively short time. And I think the same thing is totally possible today with animal consumption, that if it becomes socially so repugnant, which it is, to, you know, kill animals based off of what it does to the planet alone, that a major shift could happen.
Yeah, and instead of secondhand smoking, and that's why those laws and all those things happen so fast, because you know, it affects the, if you're in a bar or a restaurant or in someone's home, you don't want to be polluted by someone smoking cigarettes, and that's secondhand smoking. Well, in this case, it's secondhand eating, where what you do nowadays with, you know, 7 increasing to 9 billion people, what you eat affects everyone around the world, you know, essentially. So your secondhand eating affects not only your local community, but someone all the way across into the Amazon or across the other side of the entire world. And so once people know this, that, you know, in the way it's like the secondhand smoking, secondhand eating, that's when the shift can happen fast, because you can't tell someone to necessarily go eat meat on another planet or, you know, step inside another room, because it's not like that. So I think that's another reason why you'll see great shifts happening quick.
Yeah, that's true. And I think you were really good in explaining it in the movie, that even things that are happening on, say, the other side of the globe are kind of affecting for everyone. You address the issues also of backyard farms. I know many people who say, oh yeah, I know factory farming is bad, but I only eat, well, like grass-fed beef or whatever. And you make a really good point to explaining why that isn't sustainable either.
You know, and that's I think, an important part, especially for people who are conscientious about food production, is that what is being promoted, you know, the organizations that do talk about animal agriculture tend to point to these negative solutions, and the negative solution being, oh, eat local, eat sustainable grass-fed beef or things like that. And the reality is that that's not sustainable either. For the world population, there's no way we're going to raise enough meat on the planet to feed the world's current demand for meat. There's just not enough land. And when you, it's actually more sustainable and more efficient to raise the animals in extreme confinement in factory farms than it is for grass-fed. It's less humane, clearly, for the animals, but it's more sustainable. And no one's going to argue that factory farming is sustainable, though. So, you know, it's also getting down to these ideas of relative sustainability. Dr. Richard Oppenlander, phenomenal author, an environmental researcher who is featured in the film, you know, explains that very clearly about relative sustainability. You could say something is sustainable, but relatively speaking, for the world's population, there's no form of animal agriculture in any form that will ever be sustainable for 7 billion people.
Need some new tunes to kick up your summer? How about a few books for the beach? Stock up on both, all while supporting people-powered, non-commercial community radio. Co-op Radio's annual book and record sale is Sunday, August 10th in Napier Greenway at Commercial Drive in Napier from noon to 5. Come peruse our collection and help us raise some funds. This event is part of Britannia Community Center's Artful Sundays, an outdoor arts market featuring local artists, live music, workshops, community groups, and more, running Sundays, August 10th to 31st. More info about Artful Sundays at www.britanniacenter.org.
You are listening to Animal Voices on 100.5 FM Vancouver Co-op Radio CFRO. Now for the second part of our interview with filmmakers Keegan Coon and Kip Anderson, who just released the film Cowspiracy. So your film has a really, really positive message, and it's and a really inspiring message to go and take action. Thinking that we as an animal rights radio, many of our listeners are already vegan, what is the message you would spread beside going vegan, or if you are already vegan, which other actions can you take to address these issues?
Well, it's kind of like you said, you know, one person's change may not seem like a lot, but it's when it's a group of people all doing the same thing, that's when great change happens. And a lot of vegans, you know, a lot of times they won't even stand up for, or, you know, amongst them family or friends about what their diet consists of and just kind of keep quiet to themselves. But when you have a tool like this film and this message and essentially the information, now you have information that you can share about why, you know, you choose this diet, why this entire planet needs to adopt a plant-based diet. So now it's about kind of coming out of the cocoon and sharing this information with the tool, whether it's, you know, it's tough for us to say to our friends, oh, you got to do this, you got to do this. But when you have a tool like this film where you have scientists and all this data, then you can show them. So it's about right now, it's really about sharing this information to everyone and then holding people accountable for their actions. People claim they're environmentalists, environmental groups, and they're environmental groups, you know, to basically hold people accountable. And so to really just come out and share the light.
Yeah, you know, and people can get involved in a lot of different ways, too. If you know, people can go to our website, Cowspiracy.com. They can find out more information about the film and about the staff that are using the film. But what we're really encouraging is that if anyone listening to this is a member, a paying member of these organizations, use your membership as power and write to them and call them and email them, you know, incessantly and tell them that as a member of their organization, you demand that they start addressing animal agriculture. Because that's, I think, what these organizations need to know, is that their members demand this, so that they're not going to lose members. And there's organizations like the Center for Biological Diversity who actually address animal agriculture, and they haven't lost members. They've actually gained members because they tap into this massive community of people who care deeply about the environment, who also care deeply about animals. And so we need these organizations to recognize that this is an important issue and that their members demand it. And as Kip said, too, sharing this information as widely as possible, blogging about it, writing about it, doing podcasts, doing everything they can to get this information into the discussion about environmental issues, because it's been lacking for so long.
Yeah, that is a really great suggestion. That's also something that came to my mind when I watched the movie. I think there is probably a way to pressure these organizations into being more vocal about these issues. Yeah, you're doing a great job in getting the word out there.
Well, thanks. We appreciate you helping us do that by using your show.
Yeah, absolutely. So you just started your tour with the movie and with the screenings?
Yeah, so we're doing a West Coast tour. We started in Los Angeles this past Friday. And the tour is being sponsored by Factory Farm Awareness Coalition, which is an organization that has helped out to help us promote this screening and these screenings all across the western part of the United States and up into Canada. So the film, again, will be throughout the western part of the U.S., but it's going international. There are screenings all across the United States into Canada. There will be a number of screenings in eastern Canada in September and August, and then in Europe and through Australia and India and across the globe. So again, this is something people can get involved with. They can use this film as a tool to raise awareness, and the best way to do that is go to our website, cowspiracy.com, and sign up and start a screening in their area.
A way to get the movie into classrooms or schools?
Yeah, we're working on creating a 15-minute educational edit of the film that will be just really focused on the data and resources in the film to use as an educational tool that can be used from elementary school through universities. We're still working on that, and we hope to have that done some point later this year. And again, it'll be have a whole curriculum that will go with it, a study program.
Now a lot of information about nutrition and in general these things are funded by the animal agriculture, so I think it's really, really important to get some other information out there and to the teachers and to the schools.
Absolutely, and you know, making it accessible. We just had the film translated into 10 languages, and because we know that this information can't just be based in the English-speaking world, it has to be a global movement. It has to be able to be as successful as possible. So we have the 10 languages now, and we're working on having it translated into another 10 languages again to make the film as accessible as possible to as many people.
Are you still taking donations for that, or how can people support you in these endeavors?
You know, we did a crowdfunding campaign a few months ago, and that's closed. But people can still support the film by either going to cowspiracy.com. Or going to animalsunitedmovement.org and making a donation there. But really the biggest way they can help is to share this information. Come to our screen, organize a screening, buying the DVDs when they become available, buying T-shirts when they become available. All of this, and this film is produced by a nonprofit, AUM Films, and is a nonprofit film. The more money we make from it, the more money we can put back into this film and to other films. So any way people want to support the film,
okay. What is the Animals United Movement?
AnimalsUnitedMovement.org, and the film's called OM Films. It's a nonprofit, and what we're doing is using media, such as films, TV, really any sorts of media, producing these things that are entertaining that can get the important messages out to how to create a harmonious existence for everyone. And this is our first production, Cowspiracy, and we plan on continuing to do many more in collaborations with a lot of other people all around the world and helping other people do similar projects. And it's animalsunitedmovement.org.
Do you have a next project already in the pipelines?
It's paramount that we get this information out. We don't really have enough time left on this planet to be doing anything else other than talking about the true environmental impacts of animal agriculture and how destructive it is to the planet. So this is our full focus right now, 108%.
That were Kip Anderson and Keegan Coon, the directors of the movie Cowspiracy. We reached them earlier this week in Arizona. Go to their website, cowspiracy.com, to find out more about the movie. And don't forget the screening at the public library next week on July 26th.
And that was our interview about the movie Cowspiracy, The Sustainability Secret. Visit cowspiracy.com to check out the really impressive trailer. I really enjoyed the movie Cowspiracy. I was really impressed. There is a lot of harrowing facts and statistics. It's quite depressing, but it's also very empowering, and they ended on a very positive note. And they do bring it back to the animals and to a vegan message. You know, we don't need to commodify animals. It's not only harmful to us and our health and to the animals, but also majorly to the planet. So I wanted to kind of focus a bit on Canada, as Cowspiracy is based on environmental organizations in the U.S., namely Greenpeace and the Sierra Club. The third largest environmental or animal group in Canada is the David Suzuki Foundation. They bring in or spend about $9 million every year. They actually do have a statement on their website about animal agriculture and the effects on the environment. They say just to eat one less meat meal per day or something. It's just an eat less meat message. And they don't really go into the full effects of the pollution and methane and all the environmental effects. They kind of touch on it, though, and say that it's not very sustainable. At least that's something, I guess. I actually read David Suzuki's book, A Sacred Balance. He talked about the personal things that he does that affect the environment, and he said that he doesn't eat much meat at all or animal products, but he eats fish. He admits to that. But in the same sentence, he likens it almost to riding in planes. So he knows there's that there is some guilt there, and that there's a big effect, and that even eating fish isn't really sustainable. I like how the movie Cowspiracy goes into the ocean issue as well. One thing I wanted to mention, Earth Save Canada, based in Vancouver, is headed by Dr. David Steele, a molecular biologist. So Earth Save Canada talks about how a plant-based diet can really solve a lot of our environmental issues and health issues and animal ethics issues, but mostly environment they're based on. And I was talking with David Steele, their president, and he pointed out that there's actually no peer-reviewed study that even came close to the 51% claim that they use in the movie Cowspiracy. So they say this one number, 51% of greenhouse gas emissions are caused by animal agriculture. And David Steele has looked at lots of peer-reviewed studies about this, and he says it's around 15%, but it's still higher than all other transport combined. So it's still a huge number for just one industry, but not as high as the 51% claimed sometimes in the film. So he wanted to point that out. One thing that the film reminded me of a bit is the book The Revolution Will Not Be Funded, Beyond the Nonprofit Industrial Complex. It's about social justice issues mostly. It was written by a collective called Insight, Women of Color Against Violence, and it talks about how nonprofits, because they have to rely on big money and have mainstream appeal, they don't go as far in terms of pushing for real systemic changes, and that the real change happens at the grassroots level. So it's very interesting thinking about that in terms of Cowspiracy and why these organizations aren't speaking out. So I just want to remind everyone now about our event, if you forgot to mark it down. So Saturday, August 9th, we're hosting an event about animal defense and anti-pipelines. It's called Endangered Turtle and Poisonous Pipes, No Pipelines on Turtle Island. And if you want to learn more about how we can defend wild lands and wild animals from tar sands pipelines, please join us on that day. So mark the date, get in touch with Animal Voices, and we can give you more details as they come in. We're just sort of figuring things out right now. Also wanted to mention, of course, Vancouver Veg Fest is coming up on Saturday, July 26th. That's downtown Granville and Robson from, I think, 12 till 5. Two other events on July 26th. Of course, Saturday, July 26th is this premiere of Cowspiracy, the Sustainability Secret in Vancouver at the Downtown Library. And also that night at 7:30 in North Van at Bootiful Fresh Juice and Smoothies, they're hosting a summer fundraiser for the Vancouver Animal Defense League. The event features a cookbook launch party and live music. And the cookbook is Think, Eat, Act. Sea Shepherd's head chief cook wrote a book about feeding the Sea Shepherd crew. So that sounds like fun. So thanks, everyone, for joining us today on Animal Voices. We're producing a great show for you next week, Friday, July 25th. We're going to be talking about VegFest and getting people excited about that. In the meantime, we ask you to keep connected with us online. Do visit animalvoices.org, where you can check out all our past shows and podcasts and learn how to keep in touch with us. Of course, we want to hear from you. Send us your suggestions and comments about the show to radioanimalvoices@gmail.com. My name's Alyssa. This is Animal Voices. Thanks so much for listening. And remember to be kind to the animals.